The Money Show. The Markets.
Welcome to Tato Mashiko, the portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. If you and I had taken a bet on Monday, would your bet have said the JSE will be at 68,000 on Friday? I don't think it would have, Tato. Monday was a scary day around the world, not just South Africa. I don't know if anybody bet that the markets would bounce back nearly as strongly as they have.
Evening, Bruce. I would not have taken a bet with you on Monday, no matter what the odds were. I think everyone can say that we're all quite surprised that we're up 2% for the week, given not only what was happening with the world and fears around the Delta variant and markets, but also what happened last week with the social unrest locally. So markets can be quite strange in some ways, and we are happy that we have ended the week on a positive note.
We'll take it, and we'll take every single penny that's been made this week. But nothing has changed since Monday's panic, has it? I mean, the panic on Monday was fueled by, you know, COVID-19 is really scary, the Delta variant is really scary, and it's spreading quickly, and that's really frightening. So we can't see the future of growth, so let's get out. And then on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and today on Friday, we went, so what? Does it really matter? We know this. Why are we panicking? And everybody's put their foot on the gas again.
Well, that's one of the strange things with markets. On any given day, people may focus on one thing and put less emphasis on another. And you're 100% right. Nothing has been resolved as far as the Delta variant is concerned. Yet we have seen positive momentum from various equity markets, and of course treasuries have improved to about 1.3% on the 10-year yield, yet the concerns are still out there, and next week we may see people coming back with more concerns and more risk or sentiment. It really is just sentiment and psychology in the moment, and once people start seeing cases starting to creep up, then we're likely to see even more selling. So the one thing we can probably be assured of is that there will be more volatility going forward. But whether it's up or down is anyone's guess at this point.
I tell you, it will be up and it will be down, just not necessarily in that order and possibly all at the same time. Sipho Maseko, he has been a very successful leader of Telkom for nearly a decade now. He's announced that he's going to be packing his bags at Telkom, and every CEO who, when they announce their retirement, their resignation, their departure, wants to see the share price fall. They do want to see the share price fall because it implies that they'll be missed and they've done a good job. And I think that's what the market told Sipho Maseko today. They said, cheers, dude, we're going to miss you.
Indeed. Mr. Maseko has been an excellent steward of Telkom over the 8 or 9 years that he's been in charge of the business. And if you recall, when he took over, Telkom was largely viewed as uninvestable by institutional investors. And there has been a strong turnaround in the business, but far more focused on mobile and less focused on the slowing or the declining fixed line business. And the share price did fall 2.5% today. So I suppose that may be somewhat of an indication, but probably even more of an indication will be how the share price has performed over his tenure, and that has been positive. He has added value for shareholders, and one can only hope that Telkom appoints someone going forward who will be able to continue the good work that he has done.
And more important than the job that he did at Telkom by going to the office and strategizing and getting 14 million mobile customers onto the network and many other things, he proved something else, and that was that you could take government assets, you could partially privatize them, you could list them on a stock exchange, and provided you put the right people in charge, you could extract value from those assets. Somebody posted the other day that, you know, the posts and telecommunications were split in 1994, and the post office was kept 100% government, and Telkom was partially privatized, and one is, you know, dysfunctional and practically bankrupt, and the other one is a listed entity on the JSE which pays a dividend to government.
Indeed, and if you recall, Vodacom itself was owned by Telkom at one
stage.
True. And I think you're spot on when you say that government-owned assets with partial privatization or with private operators who are incentivized to run the business can be a very workable model, and We've seen it in many countries across the world, whether it's been in France or whether it's in China, with various state-owned enterprises on the Chinese side, or with the so-called golden share structure on the French side, where the companies are largely owned by private individuals, but government does have a blocking vote, so to speak. And so you have a sort of a mutual agreement between shareholders who obviously want to maximize value, as well as governments who have certain larger socioeconomic objectives. And so it can be well done if it is structured correctly. And hopefully we'll see more of that going forward from various SOEs.
Tatumashi Hope, thank you. Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth.